So what I thought I would do an audio cast. I'm doing something at Orinos.org. If you go to Orinos.org/talk, T-A-L-K, you'll find like an index of page. It's just like a plain, you know, that's what's stored in that file on the website's hard disk, you know. But, you know, over the course of time, if I survive, you know, I'm always threatened with starvation and homelessness. So far I've managed to avoid that. This has been going on for like a year now. I don't have access to welfare, I don't have access to anything, I don't have access to the justice system, etc. So I don't know whether my plans will be achieved with what I intend for that section of the website. But I'm kind of noticing, you know, like BitChute is, you know, selling all our private data to Google. And, you know, BitChute was the alternative to YouTube, which was Google harvesting all our private data. And, you know, what happened in 2020 when they were committing Nuremberg Code violations on top of all the other human rights violations that these, you know, government-sponsored corporations are committing against people of your own country, my own country. You know, and if the alternatives to that are now failing due to the level of corruption which is going on in our world, you know, it's down to the little guy to do something, anything. So right now it's just a hard disk with me, you know, uploading audio casts, but my intention is that others will be able to upload audio casts. They will not need to give their identity, they will not need to, they'll just be able to publish online. And, you know, if creepy, evil government corporations have committed crimes against humanity in the United Kingdom, have problems with that, you'll need to take that to the International Court. The International Court of Justice, that is. Or somehow go into liaison with the Office for the High Commissioner for Human Rights, the international authorities that are your appropriate authorities when you've committed crimes against humanity in your own country. So if you're a government department, you've got problems with free speech amongst the people of the United Kingdom, go speak to the United Nations. I'm not listening to you. I don't want to get any letters from your lawyers. I don't want to have any dealings with you whatsoever. All I want to have dealings with is your authorities, because you've committed crimes. Until your authorities, the international authorities, have backed up that what you're doing is legit, I've got every reason to believe you're just a terrorist regime. You're operating as an organised criminal organisation who's taking control of government organisations, are committing crimes against humanity with impunity, which is not permissible under the Nuremberg Code. So, you know, quite simply, I'm going to just put it straight. If you work for the UK government and you've got problems with me providing a platform for people to engage in free speech, go and fuck yourselves. Go take it to the international courts, the place that you have to go before anyone's going to have faith in you, anyone of worth, because these are evil people. And if you're in these organisations and you don't know the extent of evil that's going on within your organisation, I'm telling you, quit now. Because when these people are going to be called to account, they're going to send you at the front lines to go and get slaughtered so that they can pretend that they're the good guys. And it was just the innocent wee patsies. These people are evil to the core. They've got no love for anything. It's all about power. It's all about control. It's all about who's in charge. And I've found many situations where the people they're in charge of end up getting the blame for the things that the people giving the orders are actually committing. And, you know, that's a simple truth of it. So I'm doing this audio cast. This will be uploaded to, you know, the talk folder in Orinos.org as well as onto the BitChute channel. Now, you get some people that like Alex Jones, you know, and they do shows, and Joe Rogan, they do shows. Sticks, Hex and Hammers, they do shows. I do similar stuff to that, but it's not a show. You know, I'm not here to entertain you. You know, sometimes I'll resort to humour and stuff like that to try and lighten the load, but what I've got to tell you is very, you know, negative information. But the fact is, you're in this area of information because you kind of already know it, and you're just trying to get your head around like how messed up it is. So I come across this all the time, and you know, I thought I would do an audio cast trying to wake people up about what's going on in the world. And this was sparked by some acknowledgement that the "it's the Jews" phrase is bullshit being manufactured by the guilty. The culprits want to blame the Jews. Now, I'm not saying that the Jews are innocent of all these crimes against humanity that are being committed. But it's not exclusively Jews that are doing it. And as for everybody else that's not Jewish who's doing it, you might as well blame it in the blacks, you might as well blame it in the Native Americans, you might as well blame it in, I don't know, people who go to a football match of a particular team. There'll be people in that, you know, supporters club who are guilty. But, you know, to say that it just ignores the guilt of all the other people, and actually there's tons of innocent people caught up in it who are now, like, you're also a supporter of Stirling Albion Football Club, and we know that Stirling Albion Football Club did it. So all the innocent people in Stirling Albion Football Club, all the supporters, are now indicted for no reason other than being associated, and there's somebody in Stirling Albion who is an actual person committing crimes against humanity with impunity. You know, to say it's the Jews is absolutely absurd. There was some acknowledgement of this, but you know what is not absurd is if you were to say it's the government. Now let's look at the Ukraine war and, you know, the Russian war. I don't know what to call this. If you're a consumer of the BBC and you believe the BBC and you support the BBC and you love the BBC, then you want to see people in eastern Ukraine destroyed. And if you don't believe the BBC and you're considering, you know, what's the Russian perspective, since we can't trust the BBC, you maybe want to see the people in western Ukraine destroyed. But regardless of what side of the fence you're on, who is it that's doing the destruction outside of that thing within your heart to see people destroyed? It's not, it's the Jews. The simple truth is very visible. It's the government. Doesn't matter what's the Russian government or the European Union-backed the Ukrainian government. It's the government. And you'll find that it's the Jews is a phrase that's being used by military propagandists who are guilty of crimes against humanity in Iraq. I don't know if they told you this, but the Security Council of the United Nations, who were the supreme international authorities, have declared that the invasion of Iraq was illegal. Amongst those people who've supported that illegal invasion, this is not information that they want people to see. And some of them don't even know the information, you know, but, you know, if you do know the information, you present it, or they're automatically opposed to it being expressed. It's not that they're offended by what you say, they're offended by the fact that it's not that they don't want to hear you, it's they don't want anyone to hear you, and it's simply the truth. I can remember the day Kofi Annan walking out of a Security Council meeting saying it's the view of the United Nations Charter and the view of this council that the invasion of Iraq is illegal. Was that reported on the BBC? I don't know if it was or wasn't. It's got so much worse over time, but the BBC has been visibly within my scope committing crimes against humanity since April the 20th, 1993. With the cahoots of other media corporations across the UK, and I much suspect, I don't live in any other European country but Britain, and I much suspect the people in the Republic of France are suffering under these criminal activities of media corporations in France, who support not the Republic of France but the European Union. The same in Italy, the same in Germany, the same in all these European countries, where the people have never agreed to be dominated and controlled by lawmakers who've never been elected into power. They can't get voted out, and they're making the rules and regulations up as they go along, and sometimes by very nefarious means. Like, for example, Britain Brexited, but European directives are still being installed into the legal system in the UK. Irrelevant, of course, because the UK has no lawful government at present. That hasn't had a lawful government since 1993. It's the same with the Republic of France. It's the same with all these European nations. There is no lawful government operating within these countries. Just a terrorist regime called the European Union. Now, some people might be, what would you mean it's a terrorist regime? It's like, okay, so you're shocked by what I'm saying. To me, what I'm saying is the plain truth. It's not there to, you know, excite. It's not there to, oh, Donald Trump's a Nazi. You know, I'm not there, I'm not trying to sensationalise anything, I'm trying to just put a plain state of affairs on the table here, so that people are aware of it. Now, you know, if you're thinking, well, he's being sensational, he's anti-European Unionist, he's probably like Nigel Farage and he hates immigrants, and he'll be a Thatcherite, and he'll be, let me just stop you from having internal dialogue invented by media corporations propagandising your brain. The Epstein files. What are the Epstein files about? What, you know, because it's all over the media, you know. Well, what do you think they're about? You know, if I was to say, is it about sex parties and what, and a luxury Caribbean island that may have involved children, would you say that's like an accurate understanding of what you believe the Epstein files are about, having been fully informed by organisations like the BBC about what they're all about? Did you ever question whether the media was telling the truth about that and go to, like, there was a court in Florida, I think it was. I could drop the link for the document that the court issued in regards to, so they released volume one of the Epstein files, but withheld volume two. And there's a court document that's there, public domain, you can read it. And that court, there is nothing in that document that these files have anything to do with sex parties in a luxury island in the Caribbean. It's to do with vote rigging. These were the files that Donald Trump took to Mar-a-Lago after he lost office in January the 6th. That's why his home was raided, so they could get a hold of all the electronic records, all the video evidence, all the photographs, all the documents that is in relation to the vote rigging that Donald Trump expressed a belief has happened. Whether you believe it happened or not, but that is what the actual, that's what's going through the court. And the mainstream media had you believing it was about sex parties in the Caribbean that might have involved children. They had you believing that opposition to the European Union was about support for hate for immigrants. You know, if anything, the people who are opposed to the European Union are in, well, people who have rejected the European Union, who were rich enough, fled the country under political persecution. There are people still stuck within our countries in Europe who cannot flee the country because, you know, when John Major introduced the surveillance state, he rolled out CCTV cameras into all the poor people's areas in 1995. He said, if you don't like it, leave. Poor people can't just afford to leave. You know, there's a whole part of history that you haven't heard because of mainstream media propaganda for 32 years. And when you know the things that's not being said on TV, and you relate the things that's not being said on TV, haven't they, you know, get through all the fuzz of distraction and confusion that the mainstream media manufactures? The truth sounds so heinous that it sounds sensational, but it's the plain truth, heinous as it is. I have suffered inside the European Union for 32 years, and I was only 19 when all this shit started. And 32 years later, it's like a prison sentence that I've had to serve for a crime that I never committed. In fact, if anything, it was a crime to support the European Union, because it was a foreign power overwhelming the British Parliament. The same situation in France, the same situation in the Netherlands, and Frank's home country, where they installed suicide clinics as a new idea to kill off those people that were claiming want to die. That included disabled people who were regarded by international observers to be not of sufficient mental capacity to make an informed choice over whether or not they want to kill themselves. The Nuremberg Code being violated in 2007. It was not the unvaccinated that killed Granny. It was the European Unionists. Those vaccines were not effective and they weren't safe. But if you can't take on board that they weren't effective, you're going to blind yourself to the realities of all those people who are currently alive, suffering chronic illnesses due to the vaccinations that's not being reported in the BBC. When I'm talking about the BBC, I'm talking about the European Broadcasting Union, who controls the BBC. But I live in Britain, and the BBC used to be the organisation that created George Orwell's 1984 film adaptation for TV. Did things like Blackadder, Yes Prime Minister. They were very, very, you know, the BBC that existed before the European Broadcasting Union took control of that organisation was very much a pro-British organisation. Maybe even pro-British to the point where I've got an Irish ethnicity. Pro-British to the point where we were kind of, you know, not exactly first-class citizens, you know. But when you don't support the European Union, you're effectively Alexander Solzhenitsyn living in the Gulag Archipelago of the European Union. And it's a very complicated, sociologically controlled prison existence run by a terrorist regime that's not doing anything to prevent wrongdoings. In fact, if anything, they're just using political power to crush people into the dirt, and they don't mind that if in the process of people being crushed into the dirt, the people being crushed into the dirt will maybe resort to real harmful, I don't mean disobeying the state crimes, I mean harmful crimes against other people. They don't mind if, you know, in order to avoid starving to death, somebody might steal somebody else's stuff. Their system's not about right and wrong, their system's about political power, control. They're not there to protect us, they're there to protect their own arses so that they can live in luxury off the taxes that they extract from those people they force into a permanent state of poverty. You know, making up rules and regulations to steal their children, to, what is it you call that when you cut off someone's balls? Now, I don't mean, you know, that sort of, you know, why don't you become a transsexual? Why don't you become a homosexual? Sterilising people. That these are crimes against humanity. The European Union is up to its neck in it. The BBC doesn't report it. And yet, you know, it doesn't matter who we vote for. The European Broadcasting Union's political puppets are all, they install the people that you can vote for. You don't get to vote for, like, if you vote for somebody that hasn't been installed by the European Broadcasting Union, simple fact is, they're not going to get in. You're not living in a democracy, you're living in a system of slavery. That's hard to take on board, I understand, but as you listen to more of what I've got to say, you know, you start to realise that this, you know, world that's been misrepresented to you by way of media corporations and the politicians they install is very, very hostile, not only to you, but to your society as a whole. You know, 45, 1945, the mores and values, the moral ethos of the people who defeated Adolf Hitler compared to the people who are dominating and controlling our society today. Now, I would regard these people not to be part of our society, but they are so destructive towards society that any good people within it, just standing up for truth and what's right, are being socially isolated, pushed into poverty, and, you know, ultimately by nefarious means destroyed by, you know, subtle, sneaky means, they're being destroyed. Now, when you are watching the media, and if I was to use the word genocide, you might think Benjamin Netanyahu dropping bombs in Gaza. But for some strange reason, the media is also making you aware that Vladimir Putin is dropping bombs in Ukraine. But you wouldn't associate that with genocide because the media didn't program you to believe that that was genocide. But when the Jews were doing it, like, that was genocide. But the truth is, you know, the actual genocide convention, the definition of genocide, has got very little to do with dropping bombs. I'm not saying it's not genocide, but, you know, when we're talking about the crime of genocide as opposed to violations of the Geneva Convention, which has to do with the laws of war, that word genocide gets used not so much in situations where the war is open, but when the war is concealed, when governments are committing crimes against their own domestic population. So you might have heard of Comical Ali, who was an Iraqi propagandist during the War on Terror. Well, why did they call him Comical Ali? Because, you know, they ridiculed what he was saying, you know, and rather than, you know, accepting that he had his propaganda to spill out, they ridiculed him and say, hey, he's a comic, you know, he's being really, really funny, thinking he's going to win. He's going to protect journalists from, like, coalition forces, you know. But there was a play upon words because there was also a guy called Chemical Ali, who was dropping poison gas, basically, onto ethnic Kurds within Iraq prior to the invasion of Iraq, killing their own people. In the same way, like the Jews of Nazi Germany, who are, you know, 6 million Jews died in gas chambers. I have to tell you straight away that the Holocaust narrative as given by the BBC is false. The Holocaust narrative as given by the International Red Cross back in 1945 is more closer to reality. The fake reality show of the BBC, there's Nazism all over it. They're into sterilisation, they're into suicide clinics, they're into surveillance apparatus, they're into propaganda. And by surveillance apparatus, we're not just talking about John Major's CCTV cameras placed all over the poor people's schemes in Britain. They're now into installing spyware onto your phones. Like, it's a normal thing. It's not a normal thing. These are serious violations of our privacy that are ongoing, you know. So it's not some water under the bridge that happened 32 years ago. Over the past 32 years, they've doubled down and doubled down and doubled down and doubled down. And now, you know, it's the only people that can't see the evils of the European Union are the people so inured, so blackmailed, so bribed by the European Union, so hung by the rafters that they've chosen in many cases. You know, well, here's an opportunity for me to do well in life. I'll support this thing and I don't care what it does to my own people. You know, I'm going to talk like I'm from the Republic of France. It wouldn't matter which European country I came from. There's people like me all over Europe who are being ignored and destroyed through genocide. And the genocide is not dropping bombs on our head. Genocide is a thing carried out in peacetime by, you know, as the Genocide Convention describes, measures that are deliberated in order to bring about the destruction of a proportion of a population. That's something the BBC is up to its neck in. And I can't exist in this world. People like me can't exist in this world. Well, the BBC exists in this world. If justice was done, I'd like to see every person that's worked at the BBC for 32 years brought to trial to find out to what extent they were complicit in the crimes against humanity that the BBC has committed. As far as I'm concerned, when Tony Blair is on stage, when Bill Gates is on stage giving it, oh, we can reduce 10-15% of humanity's population using vaccines, healthcare and reproductive healthcare to kill people off. Bill Gates on stage, you know, do you need a trial? Do you need a court? You know, somebody's words could be taken out of context. So maybe it's right that there should be some form of trial. But when the man's at large and nobody's placed him in trial, you know, that is calculations to destroy a proportion of a population is genocide. Bill Gates is on stage, not just doing the calculations, but he's already, you know, openly admitting that he's did the calculations for genocide and then telling people what his calculations for genocide is. And interesting, he wanted to use vaccines. Vaccines, healthcare and reproductive healthcare to kill off 15% of humanity. Openly on stage in a TED talk in February 2018 or 2019. Before the lockdowns. I mean, it requires an explanation, and it requires an explanation in a situation where people like Bill Gates or people like Tony Blair, who've also been, you know, witnessed visibly, you know, like, do you have an explanation for this? It can't be in a forum where these people control the forum, where these people have got people bought and paid for, where the court is so inured by these people that they can't hold these people impartially to justice. You know, just, it looks like you've committed a crime against humanity there. Do you have an explanation for this? In a situation where, if they don't, they're going to jail for the rest of their natural life, and if they've got a problem with that, they're going to be killed in the process of getting there. That's how serious it is. These people are mass murderers, and I'm one of their victims. My unborn children are one of their victims. Now, people that support the European Broadcasting Union and the politicians they install in their European Union dictatorship will immediately say something. I say, you're just having a hard life, and because it's life isn't fair, it's that's the way it is, you know, and it's a nothing to them, you know. Well, okay, I can accept that, you know, my problems are not their problems. But their problems are not my problems. So they've got a problem with the war that their system has engaged in with Russia, and it's their system. It's got nothing to do with those people who are victims of the European Union. It's strictly European Unionists at war with Russia. That's their problem. And as for, I don't, there was some reform. I really don't know anything about politics. I don't trust Nigel Farage, as I see him as being like a cartoon character to make people who have got real grievances against crimes against humanity being committed by the European Union. I see him as controlled opposition. And he runs a party called Reform, and some guy took a bribe from Russia, and it's all over the media. Oh, he took a bribe from Russia. It's none of my business, you know. That's your problem. Because my problems have not been your problems for 32 years. And I have suffered horrible, horrible, indignities. I could go really into detail about a lot of stuff here, but there'd just be too much to cover in too short a period. Very serious indignities at the hands of the European Union and the European Unionists. And they've got a problem with Russia. It's your war with Russia. You send your children, your European Union supporting children, to go and get killed by the Russians before you commit any more acts of genocide in support of this regime of terror ruling across Europe. I'm not a racist. Another false allegations. I'm not a Thatcherite. Another false allegation. The amount of like Epstein Islands, about Caribbean luxury island sex parties. Is incredible, you know, the amount of shit that the BBC has manufactured, even before they coined it. You know, there was so much hate speech at the BBC before the phrase hate speech was coined by them. I'm talking the BBC, it's a European Broadcasting Union, you know. And there's so much hate speech against those who had every right to oppose the overthrow of the sovereignty of their country, the rejection of the democracies of their country. That quite rightly, when it was hard to believe what was going on, but when we got our heads together, yeah, you know, just by karma, we were starting to hate speech the people who were hate speeching us for years, and they've never been held to account for it. I'd like to talk about you know the lockdowns. So during the lockdowns, there were people who refused to go along with Nuremberg Code violations. That's when you're in a situation. If you read the Nuremberg Code, it's a situation where the people who are the subjects of medical experiments are not in a position to get the information. You know, there was a lot of censorship and propaganda. They were not in a position to get the information that they needed to make an informed, free, voluntary choice to go along with medical experiments, because these were experimental, emergency use drugs that didn't actually work. It was a Nuremberg Code violation by the European Union. Of course, there was other countries involved, but the European Union is so up to its neck in so many other crimes against humanity that it's just another one to add to the list. Whereas, you know, maybe like a country like Russia or a country like America was a bit, you know, some of the states in America were a bit dodgy in the way they practiced. A country like Canada, but only, you know, it wasn't Canada was not the leader when it came to suicide clinics. They've got medical, they're probably the leader right now. But it was the European Union that installed this apparatus within the Netherlands in 2007, legalised mass murder. And then it got brought to Canada and stuff like that, you know. So the European Union is responsible for a lot of evil in the world, and a lot of what they're doing is falsely accusing their victims. This whole, you know, some people would say that's a rant, you know, and you're just having a hard time, so you're just moaning, and it's just your problem, you know, exactly, it's just my problem. But for those people who sympathise with me, it's our problem. For those people who have no sympathies, we'll see when the European Union collapses, see when Russia's coming to destroy yous, see when Trump is like no longer playing any games with you, and see when yous have got nothing but your own lies to live with, and a whole world that witnessed everything that you did over the past 32 years, that's your problems. And when the children of the future recognise what their ancestors did, when your children recognise that you mass murdered your own neighbours, your own countrymen, in order to make your own life sweeter, that's your problem. Because our problems have never been your problems. And any time we've tried to gain the sympathy of those who are supporting this regime of terror that's destroying us, well, it wasn't your problem, and when the consequences of your actions are brought against you, then that's your problem. So, I mean, I don't know, do we throw you into concentration camps like we did at the end of World War II? Because the things that you have done is so heinous, so incredible, given what history is, given what the ancestors of Europe fought for in World War II. for these people to now be in total denial that any Nuremberg Code violation was committed in 2020, to be in denial that suicide clinics are a Nuremberg Code violation, to even be claiming that the Nuremberg Code does not apply. These are big people in positions of responsibility, claiming that the Nuremberg Code doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't. The Helsinki Accord is the thing that matters now. So who decided that? Because we've not had lawful government across the European Union's territory for 32 years. Who decided that the Nuremberg Code no longer applied? Oh, the Nazis did it. They are filth. And, you know, it's their problems are not my problems. Their war with Russia is not my war with Russia. Their hate for Donald Trump is not my hate for Donald Trump. Their love for transvestite children, transsexual children, homosexual children, that's not my problem. You know, that's... Now, if those children were to denounce their parents that were sitting there supporting all these crimes of genocide being that they're committing against their own children for a nicer life, if they were to turn to me and say, look, I denounce everything that these people have done with sincerity, then yeah, I would take them on board as my adopted children. But as far as I'm concerned, if these kids don't know any different, they don't know right from wrong, because they're following parents that are just committing genocide, supporting monsters like the European Union, the BBC, propagandists, people who would tell you vote rigging scandals are about sex parties in the Caribbean, and they would never question it. That's not my problem. Their kids are their own problem. Now, if they're going to kill their own kids, well, you know, as much as I think it's wrong that kids should be killed, I can't even do anything to defend myself from the European Unionists who betrayed every moral value that I was ever taught in my youth and would pretend to be my brothers and sisters, my friends, my neighbours, my countrymen. And they've stabbed everything on the back for a nicer life. And you try to say, look, this is what's happening to us. No, that's a load of rubbish. You're a conspiracy theorist. Like, phrases directly quoted from television. You know, that conspiracy theorist phrase was hate speech coined by the BBC and its advocates a way, way back before they coined the phrase hate speech. They like to say, oh no, it started in the JFK era. I'd never heard the phrase until 1998. When I was being accused of it for speaking simple truth. And, you know, the phrase conspiracy theory has got nothing to do with its etymological origin, which is interesting, neither does the word paedophile. Because the word paedophile is paedo, child, file, filial love. And people maybe not know what filial love is, but the way I could describe it is that it's often recommended that a woman and a man for that, but you know, interestingly, the daughters should ensure that the man they're going to have erotic love with has filial love for them. And that's the difference between filial love and erotic love. When the media and its advocates are using the word paedophile, what they mean is paedorotic stuff. It's got nothing to do with filial love. It's raping children rather than love for children, filial love for children. The twisted language of the media corporations. It's hard to get through to people so enamoured by that. But you know, when you see things like 2020, people wake up to there's something not right here. There is a lot not right if you're seeing the cracks in this matrix of lies that's been pulled over your eyes since the day you were born. Well, those cracks are going to open up and they're going to reveal a world to you that you might find a bit scary. And I'll do my best to assist you towards, you know, acknowledging that world we are living in, a Nazi regime here in Europe. You know, the worst excesses of, you know, anti-Soviet propaganda during the Cold War. You know, the Soviet Union was, in my warped opinion, you know, I have to admit it was warped because I never heard what's the Soviet Union's view. And you know, the BBC during the Cold War would have said the Soviet Union did this, the Soviet Union's like that, the Soviet Union this, and it'd be very, very negative. And I think the people who were around doing Cold War propaganda against the Soviet Union would admit that they were exaggerating the story a bit. So I don't know. All I know is, like, I wasn't told the whole truth about the Soviet Union, but I was told a version of it that's maybe a bit over-exaggeration, you know. So let's take the over-exaggerated version of the Soviet Union, and maybe the worst regime that they puppeteered would have been East Germany, a former Nazi country that they were occupying because Russia and Britain were allies during World War II. I don't know if you know that. And you know that Cold War ended in 1989, which is like what, 36 years ago. And there's people at the BBC that need us all to hate Russia rather than, you know, hate the European Union for the crimes against you. You know, Vladimir Putin has never committed any crimes against humanity, against me and Britain, but the European Union and its advocates have on a daily fucking basis. And I'm expected to hate Vladimir Putin, but not the people who are committing these crimes. You know, so what I'm saying is, like, the East Germany is probably the most extremist totalitarian regime during the era of Cold War propaganda. East Germany probably wasn't as bad for the people living there as it was depicted, but it was probably quite bad. It was under occupation, Soviet occupation, you know, but it was, so I'm talking about there's something bad going on. Anywhere there's governments operating, there's always evil happening at the hands of people in power. And, you know, during the Cold War, there was a very, very exaggerated version of this, where East Germany was the most totalitarian dictatorship in the world, controlled by the Soviet Union. So if you get that idea of what I'm talking about, a fictional East Germany, that was, you know, maybe East Germany was quite a bad thing. But even then, you know, I think the propagandists of the day would admit that, yeah, they did exaggerate it a bit. So, you know, to some extent, there is like a fictional East Germany that's presented to us during the Cold War that was extremely totalitarian, the most totalitarian regime in the world. That was the North Korea of its day, so to speak. Now, can you imagine a person that lived through the Cold War? You know, I was born in 1973, so I've seen like the end of the Cold War, you know, so I've seen the Cold War while it was kind of, you know, very much in its deepest three sort of thing, you know. And the most extremist fictional totalitarian regime as presented to me in the Cold War is nothing in comparison to the Britain that we're living in today. You know, if I was to, you know, like, so Dracula's like a pretty bad guy, you know. And that's fiction, but the whole, I'll just take that as the metaphor here. The Dracula's a pretty bad guy, right? Now I come back to Dracula's castle and I tell you he's a bad guy, but not only he's a really, really bad guy. So I create a fictional representation of Count Dracula to be even more murderous than how murderous he actually is, you know? And then you come across something that's even more murderous in the real world to what the evil misrepresentation of the evil Dracula. You're living in a system so totalitarian that it might be hard for you to grasp, but these people have had you in their clutches since the day you were born. And they have control over the minds of your parents, they have control over the minds of your politicians, they've got control over the minds of the police and the various nurses that committed Nuremberg Code violations in 2020, and doctors. They've control over the essential workers. And unfortunately, they are not essential. Like the vast bulk of people in the world, we are not essential. But the people who are committing Nuremberg Code violations, they're supporting Nuremberg Code violations, they're essential. By 2020, the European Union's crimes against humanity had been going on for 27 years. And it was already visible by, I think it was 2016, that there was no democratic legitimacy to the European Union because of, well, things happened in Ireland. You know, Ireland was asked, hey, would you like to vote for the European Union's constitution? And Ireland said no. So they're told to go back and vote again because they voted the wrong way according to the people who undemocratically rule over them. And then Britain held their referendum, an in or out referendum, and the people said no. Now, for years, the European Broadcasting Union says we don't need a referendum because we know what the people would vote for. And then when they finally did have a referendum, that wasn't what happened, you know. And the actual referendum result is somewhat biased by a 27-year propaganda campaign by the European Broadcasting Union, wholly in support of European Union integration, wholly destructive towards the reputation of anyone that wasn't on board with it. And on top of that, the amount of people that lost faith in the political system that did not participate in any, I don't vote, I've not voted for years, because it doesn't matter who you vote for, the European dictatorship always gets into power. You know, the amount, and despite that, the people who continued to have faith in the political system participated in that referendum and won. Compare that, simple truth, you know, let's say only half the population, let's say it was a pure 50-50 vote, you know. Compare that actual reality to the European Unionist propaganda that they didn't need a referendum because only a small minority. It never had any democratic legitimacy since 1993, and they pushed it through with massive propaganda, massive destruction of their reputations, hate speech against anyone that didn't support the regime of terror. And it is terror. It is terrifying to live in the European Union if you're standing in marshes, and it has been for 32 years. It is very traumatic. It's put my life in hold. It's destroyed my social opportunities. It's destroyed my economic opportunities. And there is no political representation. There is no media representation. That, to me, is just brainwashing. That's what I have suffered at the hands of that. And there are people who say, it's the Jews. I remember when the European Union was trying to consolidate as much power as it could. This was after the attack of 9/11, which was just prior to, the World Trade Center was attacked just prior to the European Union launching its currency. And, you know, you could say, I'm speculating there's something said between the lines there. I can't prove it, but there is more evidence for European Union involvement in that than there is Osama bin Laden, a CIA asset. But, that's not the only consolidation of power that they've engaged in. So what they wanted, Jews were very suspicious of the European Union. Because, there might be some Jews that are watching a show on TV. Daddy, look what they're saying on TV. But there's some Jews that are like, well, the last time there was some organisation uniting Europe, the Jews were being massively slaughtered. Should we trust this? So what the European Union did was started up their own European Jewish Union, and they had no Jews to support it. The Jews are kind of, they are involved in politics to some extent, but for the most part, it's a sort of ethnicity, a tradition, values and stuff like that, you know, a religion. Even if they don't go to the religion, they still get the idea of it. But there wasn't any Jews really invited. So the European Jewish Union was started up not by Jews, but by the European Union. And they asked the Jews to send somebody to represent Jewish interests in the European Union. Well, the Jews sent a comedian, Sacha Baron Cohen, who is Ali G. He plays the character Ali G. And he's famous. He's quite a wealthy Jew, you know. But that's who they sent, a comedian. And I can remember that, and to me, I was actually laughing at, the response to the European Union, because I was well aware of, I'm not Jewish, but I'm well aware of the crimes against humanity being committed by the European Union. And, there must be many, many people from many, many different races and religions who are also aware of the European Union's crimes against humanity. And the Jewish response was to send a comedian. I found that hilarious. And there's people, despite, these things that I've witnessed in history that's not being reported by the media, there's people who have decided to just ignore, hate and ignore the nutty conspiracy theorists who've come up with this theory of it's the Jews. And it's impossible. It is absolutely impossible that it's the Jews. I'm not saying there aren't Jews involved in it, but there are also Irish Catholics involved in it. There are Protestant Reformation Buddhists involved in it. There's people of all, various backgrounds that are involved in it, and they're committing crimes against humanity. To say it's the Jews is to exonerate all the guilty parties who are not Jews, and to accuse innocent Jews who are not involved in it of being the, it's got nothing to do with it's the Jews. You know, so it's a bit like going to a duck pond, you know, and you're throwing bread to the various, you know, seagulls, ducks, geese, swans that gather in those duck ponds, you know. Like, who is it that's eating the bread? And you're saying, well, it's the ducks. And so, well, what about this creature here? That looks like a swan, that's eating the bread as well. I said, no, it's the ducks. And so there aren't any swans eating it. Then what about those ducks over there who aren't eating the bread? And it's like, surely it's the birds that are doing it rather than the ducks. And it's not even all the birds, it's some of the birds that are doing it, and there isn't any, you know, there's actually more swans eating at that bread than there is the ducks, you know. But you're saying it's a total distraction. And you'll find that what I've discovered is that when you look into the sort of people who are saying it's the Jews, you find heavy connections between them and former military careers, people who used to work for the military. And when you investigate these type of people, you find that they haven't really left the military. I mean, they've retired from the military, you know, they're 32 and they've got a war pension of £50 a week. But you find that they're so, like, they've got special deals, you know, they can, you know, if I want to, you know, go on a mission to Ukraine and go and kill people as a mercenary, there's jobs boards that would be open for me if I had a former military thing. But you find that the whole structure of rank and, you know, this was my former captain when I was in the army, and they look up to that. You know, former cat, that's not your boss anymore, mate. Was he a dick while you were in the army? It's like, no, that was my bit. And it's like, they still, you know, conform into the command structure, despite the fact that they're no longer in the army. And you find that these, you know, structured organisations, that's where it's the Jews claim comes from. And there's various other, you know, things going on at the hands of these former military people. Who you don't know if they're not fighting a war in Ukraine, you know, if they're not getting their gun out and killing and maiming like they've agreed to do, even to kill you as a person, and they're going to protect your democracy, they're going to protect your sovereignty. Actually, they're going to kill you for the chain of command. If the chain of command that they serve decides that you're not economically viable, they will kill you. That is simple, hard truth that's going on in this world. Those people do not serve the country. If you consider the people to be the country, they serve the chain of command, and the chain of command serves itself. So you're living in a world that is post-democratic now. What's being seen on your TV is, oh, you should vote for this party, or did you see what that politician did? Oh, it's terrible, there might have been vote rigging here. If you understand the role of media corporations, like, you can't, you know, stand for election, you can't vote for anyone that could possibly have any idea of how to represent you, because those people are never going to get any publicity in the media corporations, while the friends of the media corporations get massive amounts of publicity. And should your Joe Bloggs neighbour that knows what it's like, who'd be, he'd maybe not be able to really represent you, you know, if he only knows like wee bits and pieces about you, you know. You know, he's never going to, you know, get any publicity in the media. But let's say, you know, through crowdfunding and the various things that go on the internet, by some lucky chance, he managed to get enough votes to be a potential. Just one politician, just one candidate to represent ordinary people. It would be immediately character assassinated by the media. They'd be go and find any dirt they could find on them, because it's not something the media controls. You know, there is a command structure here. It's getting not the way the people are meaningless to the system that's basically using us as beasts of burden. And when we're talking about, you know, connections between the European Union and Nazism, when I'm talking about the master race, they intend to be about stamping on a human face forever, as George Orwell put it. So a lot of what you've heard about, you know, the truth being on television, and how it is that you're living in a democracy, and how it is human rights are protected by the rule of law, and how it is that we're all equal before the law, and it's bollocks. living in the real world beyond all the lies is a very, very difficult thing. You feel like a prisoner who's never committed any crime, like a political prisoner that's living in a sociological panopticon. A panopticon was a prison that was kind of invented during the Cold War, where basically everybody was being watched permanently. And people were placed in these prisons within East Germany. They've now did this to the United Kingdom. If you're poor, you're effectively a criminal, a danger to the powers that be. They'll permit you to live, but they'll starve you to death, and all like just, yeah, you died of natural causes. What was the natural causes? Well, they deprived you of your ability to just exist in nature. That's like a human being's natural God-given right. Well, there's an empty field there. I'm going to dig that up. I'm going to plant some. I'm going to plant my food there. I'm going to grow my firewood there. I'm going to grow the various. Oh, no, do you have a license to do that from the system? So, well no, I don't. I'm just a human being existing in nature. Well, you're a criminal. You can't do that. You need to move. We're going to have to arrest you. They've taken that away. And then they've given people, you know, food and welfare. And they can take away that food and welfare at any time. And if a person suffers malnutrition or starvation, there are ways of psychologically managing them, their destruction, so that they don't even know and they think that, you know, they're kept in a state of confusion. There was a guy, he's still languishing in a jail to this day, and it was a big, you know, public, you know, thing that happened. Two wee girls were Manchester United tops were killed. And their Manchester United, their bodies were found. I'll not say where their bodies were found, but their bodies were found, and their Manchester United tops were found in this man's bin. He was the janitor of a school, and he himself admitted that they did come round to see him that day, and they were pupils at the school that he worked in. And, you know, it might be slightly inappropriate, but it's, you know, it's within the grounds of lawful excuse that you'd maybe go and visit the janitor sort of thing, you know. But their tops were found within his bin. Their Manchester United tops were found within his bin, and their bodies were found just outside the fence of a military base. Now, that man never received a fair trial. He languishes in jail to this day. He never received a fair trial. And, you know, if he was entitled to a fair trial, and if he's guilty, then he's guilty. If he's not guilty, then he's not guilty. But people that prevented him from getting a fair trial, to me, it looks highly suspicious that the people who were holding him in incarceration, psychologically manipulating him while he was to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. But they were psychologically messing around. So he turned up in court with no explanation of like to anything. It was like, well, I don't understand what's going on here. After they'd messed about with this man who wasn't like a prisoner, like a convicted prisoner, a convicted criminal. He was a person on remand and suspicion, because two football tops that, you know, related him to the scene of the crime were discovered in his bin. Who put them in the bin? And who were the people messing about with his mind before his court day? He's never received a fair trial to this day. And I suspect the sort of people that involved themselves with the European Broadcasting Union overthrowing our supposed democracy, overthrowing our supposed sovereignty, were heavily involved in using that man as a scapegoat for their crime. And their crime wasn't killing children. That was just, you know, to me and you, that's a crime. You know, but in the levels that these people, like, do you know how many children get killed in Iraq at the hands of these sort of people? How many children are being killed in Ukraine at the hands of these sort of people? Well, that's not a crime. Killing children is not a crime for these people. Killing children is just government business to them. Their crime was to basically take the bodies of the children that they killed and put them outside an American military base in order to, you know, create a complicated political situation. Because in their world, crime is not doing wrong to your neighbours. Crime is disobeying the master. It's a system of slavery. And they're right into it just so long as they get a slice of the pizza, you know. And that pizza's us. We, the ordinary people. We are simple moral values that we don't treat others in way that we ourselves would not wish to be treated. This is obviously not the mentality for the governmentalists, who like to pretend they do that when they're not working, but when they're working it's just a common or garden thing. That they might steal someone's children for the state, they might kill someone's children, they might kill someone's granny, but they can blame it on the unvaccinated who didn't go along with the Nuremberg Code violations for drugs that have proven themselves to be ineffective and unsafe. And we've yet to have an apology just for that one particular crime against humanity that involved multiple, you know, house arrest, bans on freedom of speech, bans on freedom of association, censorship. The number of crimes against humanity that were committed in 2020 by these people are incredible. And it's not that, you know, that's just the latest in a long series of very serious crimes that these people have committed. And I'm not just talking about master race, obey the master sort of style thing, but every day they're murdering people, every day they're stealing people's children, every day they're on board with that. And if you should speak the truth about what their system is really all about, or they'll hate you. If they need someone to blame for who killed granny, or well, that's you. If they need someone to blame for all the crimes that they commit, that's the people who are calling them out for the evil that they are. So if you're in the government, you know, if you work in a government department, why aren't you getting a job in a place that's less criminally orientated? You know, you might think, well, I don't really do much, you know, so I'm just an office filing clerk. Do you make any executive decisions over other people's lives? And do you do so in accordance with the chain of command? Are you just following orders of people that were tried at Nuremberg after the end of World War II? Are you just following orders? There is no lawful excuse. You might say the Nuremberg Codes are relevant, but for us, the Nuremberg Code is very relevant, and you are, you know, up to your neck in it if you're working for a government department in this day and age. And claiming you don't know anything about it says, well, you're not fit to do that job because that's a position of responsibility, and if you're too naive about the evils that you're committing, you shouldn't be doing that. Quit your job. There has got to be a recompense, and if you're standing there in the wrong place at the wrong time, I don't shed a tear for you, you know. Any, you know, act of violence or act of, you know, I don't know how to quite describe it, you know, but there's ways to destroy people's lives without using violence, you know. Any sort of activities like that that are operated against those who are working in government departments over the past 32 years who haven't come out and denounced the system for what it is, you know, when they suffer the consequences of their own actions, you know, I don't hold anyone that's doing that to these people as being guilty of anything but self-defence, and self-defence is no injustice. So if you work for a government department, you probably hate me, you maybe fear what I've got to say because I don't support your right to exist while you lend your full support to a genocidal terrorist regime that's the European Union, that has no right to rule over the people of the United Kingdom, the people in the Republic of France, the people in all these European countries that monstrously dictates to its European directives, and, you know, by way of shadows, they're still being implemented in the UK. And we've never voted for them. In fact, if anything, we've voted against it, and they've just rejected what we the people want. That has no legitimacy amongst the ordinary people, and you work for that. A terrorist regime imposing itself, a rapist culture imposing itself over the free will of the free people of these countries. And you, that's how you earn your money, by working for a criminal organisation like that. By working for governments that are attached to criminal organisations like that. And you would say, I'm just an innocent person. It's like, if you're making any executive decisions over other people's lives in those government agencies that you work for, you are guilty of a crime and you need to be brought to trial for it to find out the degree to which you're guilty. As far as that, you can't be there in the position making, and you know, what is you're saying is, we're going to do something good, and we're going to do it for the inside. We're going to take it down for the inside. Well, everybody that's ever said that, I've noticed, commits more crimes for the system in the inside than they do to reform the system as they're claiming. It's just a bullshit phrase that they use in order to make themselves look innocent, when in fact they're as guilty as hell. Because, you know, it's funny how there's so much evil going on in the world, and yet nobody seems to acknowledge their part in it. And they would like to say, well, do you know who it is that's to blame for it? Well, it's the Jews. And as for those, you know, the homeless people and the poor people, the disenfranchised, the people forced into the gutter by these systems, well, it's those people that are to blame. Watch out, they might steal your watch. But watch out for the government, they might steal your children. Who would you say is a greater danger to our world today? Government extremists operating a Nazi regime, or the people they're forcing into the gutter?